Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. To whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart of you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposely come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some quid among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You may have noticed in the verses we've read together, the Apostle Paul's repeated reference to faith. He speaks of faith in verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. He speaks of faith again in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Then he speaks of faith again in verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Then, of course, in verse 17, he has a great deal to say about faith. For therein, that is, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith, to faith, and by faith. Let me just leave with you a practical word on the Apostle's handling of the subject of faith in these verses. We learn, first of all, from verse 5, that the faith that saves is a faith that obeys. Says the Apostle, by whom have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, or as it could read, for the obedience of faith. Not obedience to the faith, but rather the obedience of faith. And thus we have in verse 5 the great truth that the faith that saves is a faith that obeys. Then verse 17 I learn, the faith that has saved me is the faith by which I continue to live. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Thus, by the same faith that I was saved, I continue to live. The just shall live by faith. Then verse 12 I learn, that other saints are intended to benefit from my faith. Hear the language of verse 12, says the Apostle, that I may be comforted or encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both of you and me. saints are comforted and encouraged by their mutual faith. Then finally in verse 8, I discover that the world ought to be able to recognize my faith. Hear the language of verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And thus we have this important fact that the world ought to recognize me as a man of faith. So let's just think briefly of these references by the apostle to the matter of faith. First of all, verse 5, by whom have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all nations. The faith that saves is a faith that obeys. Thus the apostle speaks here in Romans chapter 1 verse 5, and again in Romans chapter 6 in verse 26, as the obedience of faith. I repeat, the faith that saves is a faith that obeys. You may remember that in chapter 10, the apostle is speaking of the Jew, and he says this, they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And thus salvation demands that we submit, that we capitulate completely to the terms of God in the gospel. The Jew has not submitted, has not surrendered, has not capitulated to the terms of God in the gospel. And salvation came to me, and it came to you, when we capitulated and we obeyed. You remember the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? I repeat, the faith that says is a faith that obeys. In Acts chapter 9, we see Saul of Tarsus, proud, arrogant, with an unbending will, on the way to Damascus, thinking he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, bent on having the Christians put into prison, and if possible, put to death, when our Lord in mercy crossed his path. And Saul of Tarsus is heard to say, Lord, what will they have me to do? His proud, unbending will is completely shattered and broken. And he's possessed of the faith that obeys. Lord, what will they have me to do? In Acts chapter 16, there is the case of that jailer, whom was entrusted the Lord's servants, Paul and Silas. And there they are, bruised and bleeding. He leaves their lacerated backs unattended, thrusts them into the stocks and leaves them for the night. Go to death. For the Lord in mercy crossed this pathway. He's heard to say to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Don't you see that the obedience of faith, what must I do to be saved? The faith that saves is a faith, not a death. But I should like to do this. The obedience of faith of conversion death ought to characterize my whole life as a Christian. Young Christian friend, let me emphasize this here this afternoon. That in terms of discipleship, obedience is not optional. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter writes this. elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And salvation came to me when I was set apart by the Spirit to obey, and was sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Peter continues, and as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the form of lust in your ignorance. Say, for the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obedience. And that, you must be characterized by that same obedience as obedient children. Our Lord Jesus made it very clear that obedience is a necessary evidence of a living and a spiritual link with Him. Do not say, who is my mother, my brother, my sister, but He that does the will of my Father. Obedience is a necessary evidence of a living and a spiritual link with the Savior. We were hearing today about worshipful service. There are different Greek words for the verb to serve. There's the word which means to serve merely as a kind of minister. There's that word we'll consider this morning which means to serve worshipfully. But then there is this word, bondslave. Bond servant, serving as a bondslave. We speak of servants who are servants of the Lord. My brother, my sister, every saved person is a servant of the Lord. A bond servant of the Lord. While the Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians serving their earthly masters, he calls upon them to be remembering that they serve the Lord Christ. Your bond servant. Even in your menial duties of the Lord Christ. And as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he that is called being free is Christ's bondservant. Those who are called by God's grace the gospel, they become bondservants of Christ. The word of God in a bondservant, the Greek word as we all know is the word doer. And it is incorporated in our doulos, the Greek verb, deo, which means to obey. And a bond slave certainly is one who is bound to obey. Christian friend this afternoon, saved by God's grace, you're one that's bound to obey. Now repeat, obedience. If we apply the law of first mention, we discover the first mention of a bond slave in the New Testament is, I believe, in Matthew chapter 8. Where that centurion says, I say to my bond slave, do this. And he do it. Christian friend, let me prove your heart. The obedience of faith or conversion today ought to characterize your life and my life every day. And that means this. I say to my born slave, do this. And he does it. So I speak to someone here today. That maybe for some months, or even more, the Lord has been saying to you,
do this. And you haven't yet done it. Faith that says, is a faith not a day.
And the language of conversion day ought to be the language of my heart every day.
What is that?
Lord, what would it have me
to do? Then verse 17.
The faith that says is the faith by which I live. For the rent of the apostle is the righteousness God reveals. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now what is meant by that? That the apostle certainly means that in the gospel there is revealed God's righteous character? No, he doesn't mean that. Well, the fact of the matter is this. God's righteous character is revealed in the law. What then does the apostle mean when he says, for in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed? Not the righteousness of God, but a righteousness of God. And you know what then does that mean? Simply this. In the gospel there has been revealed the means whereby the soul could be made right with God. And only in the gospel there has been revealed the means by which the soul can be made right with God. The Apostle Peter speaks of Noah in his day as being a preacher of righteousness. In his day, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Apostle Paul in his day was the preacher of righteousness. But with what a difference. What did Noah preach? Well, I think I've said this here before. In his preaching, Noah wasn't inviting people to come into the ark. There wasn't room for them there. Noah was preaching a righteousness that God was demanding. To which, if they had responded, there would have been no plan. Noah preached a righteousness that God was demanding. Paul was preaching not a righteousness that God was demanding, but a righteousness that God was offering. What it is this in which we live. When the Spirit of trust to preach the gospel in which God is offering to men and women a means whereby they can be right with God. But for the apostle, for the then, is the righteousness of God revealed from death. To death. As it is written, the just shall live by death. From, to, and by. What is meant by from death? The preference is F. Some of you will know that. And thus Mr. Bagley puts, and right this to a footnote here in his Bible, I believe, on the principle of death. This means of being right with God is on the principle of faith and faith alone. And we have to remember that in our gospel preaching. And let not become guilty, that unwittingly of Galatian error, adding something to faith as being necessary for salvation. It is revealed on the principle of faith and faith alone. From faith to faith, which simply means it's revealed on the principle of faith and it has to be accepted by faith. From faith. On the principle of faith and not good works, and not the works of God, and real truth of it to be received by faith. What is the result? The just shall live by faith. All the justified by faith will continue to live by faith. I've already said that all who are saved are servants of Christ. And all who are saved, we speak of certain servants today who live by faith. Who live by faith? Says the apostle, the just shall live by faith. They are justified by faith, they continue to live by faith. You ought to live by faith day by day. And I ought to live by faith day by day. The just shall live by faith. Remember it said of Abraham, by faith Abraham and his called away. By faith he went out, not knowing whither he went. And if Abraham knew not whither he went, then obviously every step that Abraham took must have been a step of faith. Matthew chapter 14, the Apostle Peter steps out of the boat under the water. That was a tremendous initial act of faith. To leave the boat and step under the water of the Galilean men. But Peter had to continue to walk in the water. And the step that he must have been a step of faith. And thus it is my Christian friend for your name. We'll live by faith. Every step of the journey is a step that ought to be taken in humble dependence and trust upon God. What is meant then by living by faith? In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter reminds those converted Jews that now they are being kept by the power of God. Perhaps we don't really know what's involved in this. As a nation, they were accustomed to those visible evidences of the divine presence. There was the cloudy pillar by day that they sustained, sheltered them from the sun. There was the pillar of fire by night to give them light in their dwelling. All of that could be seen. And now, that's all taken away. No visible evidences of the divine presence and divine care. Peter, here's how you're kept now. Kept by the power of God through faith. What do you say? What is meant by being kept by the power of God through faith? Just this. My brother, my sister, please listen to that. Carried by the power of God through faith, sin, and hate. I recognize, look, there is no possible that I have a God that stronger than every fall. And I have a God that is greater than every day. I'm living day by day right now. Faith in a God who is stronger than your every fall. I think I've mentioned this to you before. I mention it often. I heard of Brother Frank Knott's minister speak on that, and I have. And on almost every occasion I heard his minister, he told us that he commands every day with the words of Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Christian friend, what if you might give the hope to that? Let me just say this. You are not equal to the trials and temptations that the Savior has given. None of us is equal to that. And even that, but the just will not perish.
Let me just remind us. Man speak yea by putting your trust again in God.
Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust.
Not the just living by faith. And now verse 12.
Are the saints benefit by my faith? Says the apostle. That is,
that I may be comforted, encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of your men.
Paul says we're going to be encouraged together. The word comforted means encouraged.
I've been saying recently quite differently. If ever there was a day when it requires to encourage each other, it is today. It almost seems that the saints of God are endeavoring to discourage each other.
Paul speaks of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as the God of all comfort. The word is, He is the God of all encouragement. Christian friend, our God is the God of all encouragement. And we're requiring more and more of the days go by as we're becoming increasingly.
That's the apostle. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by mutual faith both in you and me. Think of this.
Paul recognized that he could be encouraged by the faith of the saints of God. He was a servant, possessed of abundance of revelation.
But he did not think that he was beyond being helped by other saints.
I'm looking forward to being with you.
We might be encouraged by the mutual care. And how would we be encouraged by the mutual care?
Just to tell each other that they believe God, that they believe in Christ. Don't mean more than that.
We were observing today from Romans chapter 12.
How that God has distributed every man a measure of faith.
Now some people think of that. I have my measure of faith. And you have your measure of faith. And that measure of faith we have is our divinely capacity
to know and understand the truth of God.
That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, we have to think soberly, or with sanity, according to that measure of faith.
You know, it's so easy today to acquire a library of good books. And if one has a good memory, to stand up and give a brilliant address.
But it's very evident to the saints when a brother is thinking about his capacity. Think above the faith that God has given us. That's
I was only a young man when I was walking down the road from the meeting, my Lord, that afternoon, and I said to this Irish brother, what did you think of that address he did?
I said, oh, but he succeeded in being nobody.
I said, what do you mean? And he said, he was neither himself nor the man that wrote the book. And that night he brought me the book and showed me the address, one from God. The young brother, get help from good books. But learn to think for yourself.
Think according to the faith that God has given you, then you'll think for sanity. And you'll think for sobriety.
And Paul says, I'm looking forward to meeting you, and we shall be mutually encouraged by our faith.
You'll tell me what you've understood of the truth of God.
I'll tell you what I've understood of the truth of God.
I wonder what Christian doctrine, Christian truth is spoken of as in a faith.
We're reminded about this moment.
You said, earnest concern for the church. Otherwise, spoken was the church. All that I hold of the right truth of that, I hold it my faith. I have apprehended it my faith. I hold it my faith. And I cherish it my faith. That's why it's called the faith. That's why so many intellectuals do not grasp the simplest truth of the scripture. They're trying to understand it up here. And they're realizing it is understood and apprehended by faith. I've explained it this way here already, I'm sure. Someone said to me, "What is? What about the hurting back? Could you explain to me the virgin birth?" Well, I said, I could give you some kind of explanation. But I want to tell you, I believe it. Another says to me, what about the miracles that Jesus performed? Surely you don't believe that. Could you explain them to me? So then I could explain a lot to point, but I believe them. What about the resurrection? Listen to what these learned men are saying today, that he didn't rise from the dead. Could you explain it? Yes, I can explain it up to point. What I believe. Young Christian friend, that's your answer. I believe. I believe. That's where Christian doctrine has spoken about. Paul says, I'm looking forward to being with you. That we will encourage together by you. Shall I tell you how we encourage each other? By talking about the things of God. Talk about how we've apprehended the truth of God as we came in here. Allah today who should be here. So seldom they talk about the things of God. Here's the only way in which you're going to find him here. By talking about the things of God. I met some few years ago, a coal miner, down on the south of Wales, just about a year's time. And he said this to me, Mr. Leckie, the Christians here are wonderful and kind. I could be in the home every evening. The hospital is wonderful. But he said something I can't understand. And it's this. They never talk about the Bible. And they never talk about the Scripture. I thought, what a sad, sad indictment of the lost people. Brethren, we need encouragement. We need to be mutually encouraged. And how do we do it? Talking about the things of God, by our mutual faith. Then finally, verse 8. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. But your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The faith of these saints at home was spoken of throughout the whole world. And of course that seems a bit tricky to understand at first sight. Their faith, spoken of throughout the whole world. Well, you must observe this. That people in the New Testament, when this expression the whole world is employed, it relates to the whole Roman world. The faith was spoken about throughout the whole Roman world. Now you say, can you prove that? Acts chapter 19. We have that prophet Agabus, who stood up and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great gathering throughout all the world. Now the great death was not throughout the whole world. It was throughout the whole Roman world. Obviously. Luke chapter 2, remember, there was that decree from Caesar Augustus not all the world should have passed. And all the world was not passed. And Caesar Augustus could never make a decree that all the world should have passed, but all the Roman world. Thus it is in Colossians chapter 1 verse 6 where Paul speaks of the gospel that had come of you sent to Colossae as it is in all the world, in all the Roman world. And thus it is here in Romans 1 verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole Roman world. Overcome brief little bit. Their faith was spoken of. Is that natural? We have a similar statement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where the apostle says to these Thessalonian believers, your faith to God was spread abroad. And the faith of those saints that was granted to your God had been spread abroad. What a question. How can people speak of another nation? Is not faith something between the soul and God? How do people speak of that? We have a rather similar expression in Acts chapter 11 again. It said of that good man Barnabas, that when he went down to Antioch, and he saw the grace of God, he was loved. He saw the grace of God. How can anyone see the grace of God? Rather, the answer is very simple. The rock to the evidence of the saving grace, the faith of that God in heaven, seemed to be shining, and people stood around us. Your sister wrote to me last year, she said, Albert, I told him not to live much after Christmas. But I like to make two requests. Number one, she said, I'd like to tighten your list of meetings for 1988. We've been doing that for 3 years. I'll do it, she said, for the last time. Request number two, I'd love to see you once more before the birthday. And I went to see Mrs. Jessica Anderson. It was heavy enough just in the room with Mrs. Anderson. She said, Brother Albert, I thought I'd be alive and remain when the Lord Jesus came. And ever she said, that's not going to the case. And her face went up. She said, but I'm going to see the whole world. People are speaking with a faith in this world. So I just went into the hall now. Then you have to read them up on Facebook. Ah. Let this be new and then godly. The Savior faith. Your trust in God is shining through. Jesus Christ. My brother must have been at me. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for me all. That your faith is spoken. The people speak about you. Your trust